for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Wide receiver time here on the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. Adam Pfeiffer, Tyler Lochner with you as always. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. We did quarterbacks, we did running backs, and now it's maybe my favorite episode we're going to record since launching this podcast, the wide receiver preview. Tyler, this is going to be a fun one. How's it going? How was your weekend?
It was a great weekend. I love Memorial Day. Lots of time outside. Definitely one of my favorite holidays. So hope you guys had a good one too.
Yeah. And look, I like to go back and forth a little bit to start the shows, but this is going to be such a loaded episode. We should just get right into the wide receiver preview. And I will say real quick, though, the early bird special we had for the FTN Fantasy Platinum package is now over. So hopefully you took advantage of that because it is going to be amazing. So I'm excited to see everybody being able to see all that content and tools and everything. But let's not waste any time, man. Wide receiver is the most loaded position in fantasy. There are 70 receivers we could talk about, but we're not going to do that. We'd be here for 2 hours. Let's start with tier one. Cooper Kupp for me. Cooper Kupp for you. Justin Jefferson for me, Justin Jefferson for you. The only difference between our tier one, you have Ja'Marr Chase in this tier. I don't, but it's obviously super close. But we talked about this the other day. How far are Jefferson and Chase for you? Because clearly for me, I have Chase on a separate tier than, but Jefferson on a separate tier than Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you putting Chase in tier two. I actually even considered putting Kupp in a tier by himself, like a tier zero or just Kupp in tier one.
Especially after the Adams and Tyreek Hill trades, it's even easier to just make the argument that Kupp belongs in his own tier.
Yeah, he clearly was in his own tier last year. But in terms of Jefferson versus Chase, I do pretty handily have Jefferson ahead of Chase. That could change. You know, if Chase catches more balls this year, really, that's really the biggest difference is Jefferson is like a 100 to 120. If he pops off kind of catch guy. And I don't necessarily think Chase gets there with T. Higgins. But Chase can rack up the yards, faster and the touchdowns faster. So Chase is still a tier one for me. Don't disagree with you having him tier two, but, even within my tier one, it's pretty clearly Cooper Kupp number one, Jefferson number two and Chase number three for me.
Yeah, and with Jefferson, he had nearly 50% of Minnesota's air yards last season. Like, clearly led the NFL. The touchdowns
Jefferson's led the NFL in air yards 2 years in a row.
Right, and like that was always the case since he entered the league. It was Thielen was getting touchdowns, but when Minnesota threw the ball deep, it was to Justin Jefferson. And Thielen missed time last season, obviously, which helped the touchdowns go up to 10. But like, yeah, I think Justin Jefferson, you can make the case he's the best receiver in the NFL. Like, I don't think that's outlandish. I still would prefer Kupp and Adams as overall talents, but Jefferson is unbelievable. So is Ja'Marr Chase. The only difference I have with Chase and the reason he's in tier two for me, I expect some regression, right? A ton of long touchdowns last season. Joe Burrow had 12 touchdowns on vertical routes last year, led the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase had 7 of them. Like, he's amazing. He's going to pop off and be among the league leaders in long touchdowns probably every year of his career. He's that good. I just expect some regression. Plus, it's not like his target share was elite, right? He was at 23% there with T. Higgins. So I just think that's enough to where Jefferson is probably going to be in that 27, 28% target share again. And then Cooper Kupp, we don't have to go into detail on Cooper Kupp. You know, set records last season. He's going to regress, obviously, but he's going to regress to being what? 400 fantasy points. I mean, obviously 400 is a joke, but he's unbelievable. So let's get into tier two where obviously I have Ja'Marr Chase. And then what does your tier two look like? I'm assuming our first two tiers are going to be pretty similar.
Yeah. My tier two is Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams. I still have him top five.
Yep.
And then CeeDee Lamb. How about you?
Same exact one for me, except I have Chase kicking off tier two. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs, I think, you know, bias aside, I think he has an outside shot to finish as the wide receiver one. I mean, he's going to see, you know, top five, six in terms of targets in the NFL this season. He was, 164 targets last season, was fifth in the NFL. He led the NFL in end zone targets with 23. He's been, I think, like over 30, like around 35 the last two seasons. And he's playing with Josh Allen in the pass-first offense. So, like, Diggs is one of my favorite players to draft in the back end of the first round. I think he's a first-round player. And then CeeDee Lamb, like, a lot of people through two seasons have said, okay, CeeDee Lamb's kind of been a bit of a disappointment, but I think it's pretty obvious, and especially with the target share we expect from him this season with Amari Cooper gone, the best is yet to come for CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Amari Cooper being gone is the sole reason why I have Lamb in tier two here. It's a little bit of a leap of faith. I could pretty easily put Lamb in tier three, but you know I'm a Dak stan. Yep. Dak Prescott MVP should have happened last year. It didn't. but no, I'm definitely a believer in Dak and just his ability to absolutely rack up the yards and touchdowns. And CeeDee Lamb, as the very clear wide receiver one there, I don't ever think he really was the wide receiver one with Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper is incredibly good at football and was just always the guy, and maybe held Lamb back a little bit from the volume that we expected him to see. That's not going to happen this year. Lamb could see the like Diggs level of targets, maybe not because Dallas probably won't pass as much as Buffalo, but in terms of target share, Lamb approaching that 30% mark would not surprise me. So I am a very firm believer as Lamb is an elite fantasy wide receiver one this year.
Yeah, and you know, talking about Stephon Diggs, if I like to go like receiver to start drafts, like Diggs Lamb is a very possible start, and you would feel fantastic about that. And then Davante Adams, we're so used to him being in tier one almost by himself. You know, over the last couple seasons, over a 30% target share in Green Bay, a lock for you know double digit touchdowns and just massive volume. It's going to come down a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to be a 22% target share. I would probably put him, in that 26-27% range, but it's different from going from 31 to 26-27. And while going from Rodgers to Carr isn't exactly, Rodgers is better than Carr, outside of playing with an elite quarterback, this would probably be the best move for him just because he has familiarity with Derek Carr. And the thing is, like, this offense is going to be pretty good. There's going to be some shootouts, but it's enough for me to where he's no longer the clear-cut wide receiver one or wide receiver two in fantasy. But I agree, he's still pretty much borderline top five for me. I think he is fifth, actually. I think it's the three we mentioned already with Cup, Jefferson, Chase, and then Diggs, and I think Adams five still.
Yeah. It will be a shock if Adams, comes all that close to his numbers with the Packers. 123 receptions, over 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns. Like, don't forget, Adams was basically Green Bay's goal line back too at times the last couple of years, but I still like Adams as an elite play. But if he was still in Green Bay, he would be in tier one for me very handily. And then on Diggs, I know some people were a little disappointed in him last year. Obviously he wasn't bad. He finished as the overall wide receiver 8 in fantasy points, but I will note we have an expected fantasy points tool at FTN, and it shows that Diggs was actually 4th in expected fantasy points last year behind Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, and Davante Adams. So if you expect Diggs to see a little bit of positive regression, maybe catch a few of those deep balls that weren't completed or score a few more touchdowns than he was expected to score, we could see him approach that 300 point mark, which would very handily have him in the top 5 fantasy wide receivers. So I still like Diggs, still in the prime of his career. I would say for one, maybe two more years. Diggs is not a player that I'm have any level of concern about.
No. And again, like, I'm obviously the Buffalo fan, but I really wouldn't be surprised if we look back at the end of the season and Stephon Diggs is the wide receiver one in fantasy. Yep. And that's obviously because he's an elite talent and elite offense, but it's also because, like, you can make that argument for a handful of receivers. We'll probably talk about a handful more. Let's go to tier three. For me, I have Mike Evans, Tyreek Hill, T. Higgins, Keenan Allen, and Deebo Samuel. How about you?
Sounds like the same, except I have a slightly different order. I have Tyreek, Mike Evans, T. Higgins, A.J. Brown, and then Deebo Samuel. So I have A.J. Brown in there.
Yeah, well, talk about A.J. Brown, because I have him starting off tier four. And I've been kind of back and forth on A.J. Brown, because at one point you say, okay, he's going to the most run-heavy offense in the NFL. But at the same time, this is a player who is averaging like 7-8 targets per game throughout his career, and he's been efficient. He's been one of the most efficient receivers in football, so it's not like he's needed 10, 11, 12 targets to be great in fantasy. And like they traded for him, they extended him immediately. Like they have a lot of, you know, plans for AJ Brown. So maybe I talked about this before too. Like there's a couple players in fantasy that I'm really afraid to be too low on or just completely just miss out on. AJ Brown might be one of those players where I'm just like, wow, why did I not rank him higher?
So you say he went to the run heaviest team in the league, which is true. Philadelphia had a 49.9% rush rate last year. It led the league, but the team that was second at 49% right. was Tennessee. And if you look at the last 2 years combined, Tennessee leads the league in run rate at 49.5%, even ahead of Baltimore, which surprised me a little bit. So it's not like the situation in terms of, it's not like he's going from the Buccaneers to the Eagles, right? Mm-hmm. Like AJ Brown was never a high volume guy. I know injuries play a factor into this, but like only 105 targets last year. I know he missed time, but he was never a player that was seeing like 10 plus targets a game, like Stephon Diggs. So what I really like about AJ Brown, and I think this will be the case in Philadelphia, you mentioned they spent a lot to get him. They certainly have plans for him, is just AJ Brown in Tennessee has always been just an absolute dominator in terms of target share, 28% target share last year. And perhaps more importantly, in terms of air yard share. So the percentage of the team's air yards that go to a certain player. AJ Brown had 45% of Tennessee's air yards last year. That's like, that's a kind of a hard number to wrap your head around. Like
almost Jefferson-esque.
It is Jefferson-esque. The only other player in the league last year that had over 45% was Justin Jefferson. And then if you go back, you look at 2020, the top two players in terms of air yard share were Justin Jefferson and AJ Brown. So just the fact that he is such like, you know, the classic alpha wide receiver. I think he's going to be in Philadelphia. I do not think Devontae Smith is a threat to that. AJ Brown is still going to be 27, 28% target share. I still think he's going to have a very high air yard share. The only question is Jalen Hurts good enough? Personally, I think yes. I might be marred by my fantasy football love for him.
I think he is too. So,
but clearly the Eagles want to give him a chance to be good enough. So, yeah, I'm in on AJ Brown as a fantasy wide receiver one.
I like it. And there's still immense upside because he and Jalen Hurts, first of all, are very close. So you have that. But also, like, it's not, again, it's not like the routes. He can win everywhere, right? Like, but, like, a huge part of his game, he's been one of the three best after-the-catch receivers in football since coming into the NFL. So it's like he only needs intermediate stuff, and he can just go 50, 60 yards to the house. So AJ Brown, still immense upside in Philadelphia. And I think they pass more, right? Like, they're not going to be – I still think odds are they're top five, six in run rate. But
agreed.
You would think they throw a little bit more after the moves they made this offseason. So other players in Tier 3, Mike Evans, he could absolutely smash to start the season with Chris Godwin potentially missing the first part of the season with the coming off the torn ACL. And Mike Evans, like, 1,000 yards every year, 10 touchdowns every year. But if he gets a start of the season without Godwin and, you know, Russell Gage is there, but he's not going to see targets on a per route basis that Antonio Brown saw as the third receiver, and then maybe no Gronk. Like, Mike Evans could be, like, would it surprise you if Mike Evans was literally the wide receiver one in fantasy until Godwin returns?
It would maybe surprise me in PPR leagues.
Sure.
But
top five though, like, yeah, easily within his range because his catches, everything, like, I think the splits favor him like immensely with Godwin off the
yeah,
field.
I actually have it in front of me. So FTN fantasy splits tool, since Tom Brady joined 2020, so the last 2 years, Evans has played 30 games with Godwin and 8 games without Godwin. When Godwin is not on the field, Evans averages 9 targets, 6 receptions, 87 yards, 1.1 touchdowns, and 22 fantasy points per game. All of those numbers are up significantly compared to when Godwin's on the field. They're basically up 50%. So you take a player that scores 15 fantasy points per game, 14, 15 points per game with Godwin, and you bump that up to 22. Yards goes from 60 to almost 90. So yeah, Evans without Godwin. And again, Godwin might be back. The ACL tears injuries don't take quite as long as they did, 10 years ago, but he might not be back fully healthy. And especially even if Gronk retires, I think you and I were talking about this. If Gronk does retire, Who else are the Bucs going to throw the ball to in the end zone?
Exactly. So I'm very high on Evans. Now, if Godwin were fully healthy, I think Evans and Godwin would probably be in this tier. Maybe, you know, maybe the top of tier four, but I would probably still have both in this tier. I think they're both going to be awesome. And speaking of Godwin, like, if he continues to fall in drafts, just please draft him, because when he's on the field, he's going to return not even third round value, probably second. Like, if Chris Godwin were fully healthy end of the season, he'd be a second round pick. Like, he'd be ahead of AJ Brown for me, ahead of Evans, obviously, ahead of Tyreek. He'd be that high for me.
He would be in tier three for me if he's fully healthy, for sure.
Yeah, he would be right after the end of tier two. He'd start tier three for me for sure. Last player I want to talk about is Deebo Samuel. We kind of talk about him a lot. Just expecting full regression, right? He doesn't love how he's being used. He had a lot of, you know, rushing touchdowns and total touchdowns, but it wasn't just because, oh, Deebo Samuel's a goal line running back and getting 1 yard touchdowns. He was ripping off long touchdowns. And that, I, again, he's one of the 5'7", you know, most talented players in the NFL without question, right? But it's just tough to bank on those long touchdown runs. And we talk about it a lot, but his targets weren't that impressive when Brandon Ayuk was part of the offense, right? We know he was, you know, on the bench to start the season. But if you look at week 8 when he really started to play, because when Ayuk was fully part of the team, it's not like he was playing 65%. He was 90% of the snaps. He led the team in targets. In the games that he played, Deebo Samuel played with Ayuk from week 8 on last year, I mean, Deebo only averaged 5.8 targets and 3.9 receptions per game. Now, he had 75 receiving yards per game, which is insane for that volume. But again, I expect regression despite how talented he is. We don't know exactly what we're going to see from Trey Lance. So for me, Debo's a player, and it's terrifying after what he just did. I haven't drafted once so far.
Yeah, I'm on that same boat. You talk about the target share from over the second half of the season. Deebo was actually third on the team. It went Ayuk, Kittle,
yeah,
and all categories, yards, receptions, targets, touchdowns. He was very buoyed by that rushing production. And it wasn't like he was running. It wasn't like he was Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Like, Patterson saw maybe 8 to 12 rushes a game. Deebo was only at like 5 or 6. It's really not a lot.
That's the other thing. Like, Lance averaged 10.3 rushing attempts in his three games. He played a lot of snaps, and he had 31 carries in those three games. 19 were designed. So again, whether they want to give Deebo carries again or not, that's probably going to come down to an extent with Trey Lance at quarterback as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo.
This is also maybe really hypocritical of me with my Christian McCaffrey love and just like completely ignoring the fact
I traded for him in Dynasty last night.
Yes, dude. I traded for him a couple weeks ago. I don't know if I told you that, but I thank you for doing that.
I now have him, Najee Harris, and Breece Hall. It's pretty fun.
You're winning. You have Christian McCaffrey. You're winning. No, so Deebo.
Should we put him in like tier 5 for receivers? Tier 4 for receivers?
McCaffrey? Oh, he had tier 4 easily. The only player in my tier 4 that would catch more passes than him is Deontay Johnson. Anyway, no, Deebo, I love him as a player, like, clearly so good. So that's really I still have him in tier 3 just because he's so good. So it's not like I think he's going to be bad.
Like, I have him at like wide receiver 20. Yeah. I still have him at like wide receiver 10, 11.
Just of the fantasy wide receiver ones, he's the one that makes me the most nervous. And I was going to say, the reason I'm a little hypocritical is because, like, it seemed like Deebo would get up limping like 5 times a game last year.
Yeah, I mean, he takes a lot of hits. I mean, yeah. And Deebo, this is why he was so exciting as a player. And when the reason he gets a lot of carries is because he's incredibly good at football, but he's also... He doesn't shy away from contact.
No, not at all. He tries to run people over.
Yeah, and he does. Like, he's just so good. All right, let's go to tier 4. Tier 4 and tier 5 is when we start to see a lot of players in both of our tiers. Who's in your tier 4? And I'll just preface this by saying a player we talked about already, AJ Brown, is in my tier 4. I'd be willing to move him up to the bottom of tier 3, though.
All right, my wide receiver tier 4, Deontay Johnson, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, Christian McCaffrey, Amari Cooper, Brandon Cooks, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, which maybe question mark, maybe I'm too high on that, and then Michael Thomas.
All right, so I don't have Michael Thomas or Metcalf in this tier. Thomas, I actually just moved him down in my rankings at FTN Fantasy the other day to like wide receiver 29. That's more so due to he's not fully 100% from the ankle. There's been conflicting reports about his status. If he was fully healthy, he'd be higher than that. Don't get me wrong. I just think it's a run-first offense now, way more than it's been since he's been with the team. And the receiver room finally looks decent in New Orleans, right? You add Chris Olave, you add Jarvis Landry, you still have Alvin Kamara out of the backfield. And Jameis only averaged like, you know, 20-ish passing attempts per game. I think Thomas is still really good at football. I just don't know if he has the upside anymore in this offense. But I get it. Like when he's on the field, it's tough to not remember how dominant he was on the field. So talk about why you have Thomas in this tier. And then I want to get into DJ Moore and Michael Pittman because I can't quit DJ Moore. And Michael Pittman's climbing my rankings every day now.
So I don't really have like some great defense of why I have Thomas here.
Just believe in the talent.
Yeah, I just believe in the talent. And I'm a sucker for possession receivers. He's just a really good player, but maybe he's not anymore. So I think Thomas is a player. My approach to a player like Thomas is the risk reward. He does not cost. He's not cost prohibitive in fantasy right now. He's like after the wide receiver twos.
He went like 60th overall in one of the underdog drafts I did with Chris Meany yesterday.
That's pretty high.
You think isn't so? It? I think it's...
What is that, like fifth round?
I think that's usually where he goes, but it's not... Again, to your point, it's not like you're going crazy. It sounds high.
Yeah, it sounds high. I was thinking more he'd be like a sixth round pick, but I guess 60th overall is kind of like right there.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, he's a good player. And then, yeah, DJ Moore. I'll hand the table over to you because I know you are a huge Moore stan.
If DJ Moore had the 13th best quarterback in the NFL, he doesn't have to have... Allen or Herbert or Mahomes or whoever.
Give him Derek Carr. Put him where Devontae Adams is.
Goodness. I would have him in the top. He'd be in almost tier two for me. Like in terms of talent, he's that good. He's as good as CeeDee Lamb and all these players, Keenan Allen. He's so good. And the volume is incredible. You look at the numbers last season for DJ Moore. And again, go to FTN Fantasy, look at our market share tool, and it's
free.
Exactly.
By the way, just Google air yards, and it's the first thing. And
you can see everything. You can see percent of it. I'll just run through some. DJ Moore had 40% of the team's air yards, third highest rate in the NFL. He had 32% of the receiving yards, fourth highest rate in the NFL. DJ Moore had 26% of the receiving receptions. That was the fifth highest in the NFL among receivers. And then his first read targets, this was the really interesting one. So he had 143 first read targets for DJ Moore last year. Only Jefferson, Deontay Johnson, Devontae Adams, and Cooper Kupp had more. DJ Moore had 35% of the first read targets on this team. That was tied for first in the NFL with Jefferson and Adams. Like, the volume is immense. And again, you can worry about the quarterback play, which is not good, but the majority of these first read targets came with Sam Darnold, who will probably start at quarterback. He's not good, but DJ Moore was still like wide receiver one numbers to start the season before Sam Darnold completely fell off a cliff. And that was with McCaffrey playing for a lot of those games, too. So I'm not worried about McCaffrey coming back. If anything, it probably helps the offense and give DJ Moore some more scoring opportunities. So he's still firmly in this tier for me just because of the talent and the volume. And I like how his roles changed. In his rookie season, he was a high A-dot player that didn't convert a lot of those catches down the field. But then he's been more intermediate, more short, and he's been getting a lot more receptions, which has been great for him in PPR. He had 93 receptions last year. So if he had, like you said, a Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, like the 12th to 15th, 16th best quarterback in the league, I would expect DJ Moore to like contend to lead the league in receiving. Like, he's that good. Thoughts on DJ Moore?
You basically just mentioned every single advanced wide receiver stat, and he's like top five.
Exactly.
In all of them.
And how many touchdowns did he score last year?
Only four. He's right, a 1,200 yard, four touchdown guy. He's always four touchdowns. Every year.
But he actually, his end zone targets weren't that low last year. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't getting, like, he had, pulling it up now,
while 10
end zone
up,
targets, which was like league average, a little bit below league average.
There's only three wide receivers that had at least 100, or three players, not just wide receivers, only three players that had at least 120 targets last year that scored four or fewer touchdowns. Number one was Jacoby Myers, who's like a total joke how Myers never scored. Number two is Darnell Mooney.
Definitely knew that. And we'll talk about Mooney in a little bit.
And then fourth is DJ Moore. But what's crazy about Moore is he saw 162 targets. Mooney saw 140. Jacoby Myers saw 126. That's really hard to only score four touchdowns on 162 targets.
If DJ Moore and Michael Pittman switch roles, where would you rank DJ Moore?
He would definitely be in tier three for me, at least.
Yeah, he would smash.
Yeah.
Segue, Michael Pittman. He is up to like wide receiver 16 for me, my rankings. And here's why. Really talented player, coming off a season where he had almost 130 targets, 90 receptions almost, over 1,000 yards. Michael Pittman was like ninth in contested targets last season. Carson Wentz would just throw jump balls, hope for pass interference penalties. And, you know, Pittman came down with a handful of them, but those are not highly converted targets. This season with Michael Pittman playing with Matt Ryan, I expect more scheme targets for him, more open targets for him to do stuff after the catch, which he was above average in after the catch, yards after the catch perception in his rookie year, then fell off last season. I think that goes up this year. And here's the other thing, one of my favorite stats, again, talking about these advanced numbers we have at F10 Fantasy. Michael Pittman, 25% target share, which is obviously like 25%, that's like the range you want to be in, 25 and up. That's like really what you want from a fantasy wide receiver. But you look at reception share. There are two players in the NFL that had a higher percentage of teams' receptions than Michael Pittman, and it was the volume kings, Davante Adams and Cooper Kupp. Michael Pittman had 27% of the Colts' targets or receptions last year, tied with Justin Jefferson and Mark Andrews for second most in the NFL. And you look at the depth chart, Alec Pierce, Paris Campbell, if he can stay on the field, maybe Nyheim Hines plays some more receiver. That's it. Michael Pittman, for me, is full-on third year. It kind of broke out last year, but I expect an even better year this year.
I'm on board, and I don't think Matt Ryan's toast. So
Matt Ryan's very, 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 very good. He's not great. He's just very, very, very good.
So let me defend my DK Metcalf here for just a little bit.
Speaking of very, 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 very good.
He's only 24. He's obviously just a physical freak of nature. He's entering his contract year. And I know it's a pretty small sample size, but without Russell Wilson last year, Metcalf actually was better.
Yeah.
On a per game basis.
Lockett was the one that really fell off without Russ. Which kind of makes sense.
It does. I do think Metcalf loses the top of his ceiling. Sorry, that doesn't make any sense. If you lose the top of your ceiling, it makes it even higher. I think Metcalf does not have as high of a ceiling, obviously, without Russ. Like, it would happen maybe two or three times a year where Wilson would throw for like 350 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's not going to...
On 27 passing attempts.
Yeah. On a 4:30 p.m. slate that just completely destroyed DFS. That's not going to happen this year, but I still just think Metcalf is going to be the clear wide receiver one. I think Tyler Lockett is the one that gets hurt by far the most. So Metcalf as my fantasy wide receiver two is something I'm still comfortable doing. It makes me a little nervous just having to like watch Drew Lock play football and root for it every Sunday. It sounds horrible.
Well, the good news is Geno's going to start at quarterback, I think. I really think Geno starts over Drew Lock.
Is there, I guess...
Geno's been running, I think, as like the beat reporters in Seattle expect Geno to start, I think. And it's like Geno was the quarterback when Metcalf was playing without Russ last year. And
yeah,
he was, you know, he had that huge play against the Saints and he had a huge game against Jacksonville. But like, I would rather have Geno than Drew Lock start for Metcalf. I really would.
So I agree with that. But here's my other defense of Metcalf here. Like, okay, yeah, his quarterback situation is bad, but so is DJ Moore's and Terry Deontay McLaurin. Johnson's and Terry McLaurin and Michael Thomas and Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, this is the tier of really good players that aren't in great positions, basically.
Right, and we'll talk about a handful more. Closing out tier four, just on Terry McLaurin, led the NFL in contested targets last season. Now he has Carson Wentz, so I expect him to potentially lead the league in that category again. Another player that would clearly be in tier three if he had better quarterback play. We've talked about Sutton a ton. I love Sutton. I think he's the receiver I want in Denver. Love his rapport potential with Russell Wilson. And then closing it out with Mike Williams. I would like to see more usage that we saw in the first half of last season. His A-dot was lower. He was used more intermediate, and it led to more consistent games. Then down the stretch, he had a higher A-dot, and he had more disappearing acts. So we'll see, but still... You love the step he took forward last season, stayed relatively healthy, and Justin Herbert is elite. So let's get to tier five, which is my favorite tier. And I'll start Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks, we'll talk about him, Hollywood Brown, Allen Robinson, Jalen Waddle. I have DK Metcalf in this tier. Darnell Mooney, Rashad Bateman, Jerry Jeudy, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and the unbelievable Gabriel Davis.
What a fun tier.
It's my favorite tier.
I have Pittman, although I think you've convinced me I'll move Pittman up to tier four. Cortland Sutton, Mike Williams, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, Brandon Ayuk, Hollywood Brown, Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's my tier five.
Let's start with the two best values at receiver, Brandon Cooks and Darnell Mooney. And Brandon Cooks has been the most underrated receiver in fantasy for like 3 years running now. You look at his numbers last season, in his splits with Davis Mills at quarterback, still averaged almost 16 PPR points per game, which would be way better than wide receiver 30, which is where he's going right now in drafts. He had at least a 25% target share in seven different games last season. Like, it's just volume, talent, and I think Davis Mills clearly showed that he can play at the NFL level, so I'm not worried about that. And again, Brandon Cooks, if he plays close to a full season, is going to contend, you know, top 7-8 in targets, because all they have after that is Nico Collins. We'll see what they get from John Mechie and then Brevin Jordan, who I like, but like Brandon Cooks is just, this is why I love this tier so much, because I'm not leaving many drafts without one of Brandon Cooks, Darnell Mooney, or Gabriel Davis.
They're all really good values. Brandon Cooks is the wide receiver 30 being drafted right now.
So bad on
Underdog ADP. By the way, if you wonder where we get all this ADP data, if you just Google Underdog ADP, you can find FTN Fantasy. We have a tool there that we keep updated with Underdog ADP, which is really the best thing to get right now. Like best ball, one of my favorite things about best ball is that it just keeps drafts going year round. So we always have fresh, relevant ADP data. It's awesome.
And the other thing is, if you're drafting in May and June, you're pretty sharp, invested in fantasy. Yeah. So the ADP is going to be, for the most part, pretty accurate.
Yeah. So you kind of hit the nail on the head with these players, so I don't really have a ton to add other than, of the three of them, which one's your favorite? Because for me, the answer is Brandon Cooks. Yeah.
So everybody knows Gabriel Davis is like, I love Gabriel Davis. I still have Cooks comfortably ahead of him. Don't get me wrong. I have Cooks, not comfortably, but I have Cooks ahead of Jalen Waddle, who, check out his Underdog ADP. Tell me what you think of that, because I don't get it.
Wide receiver 15. It makes no sense.
Jalen Waddle is amazing. He is so good. He's going to be amazing for years to come. He just broke an NFL record for rookie receptions in a season, 104. But the worry I have is, he was the clear focal point of the pass game last year with all those targets, right? His ADOT, remember in Alabama, he was making plays down the field. His last year in Alabama, he had an ADOT of almost 12 yards. In his rookie season in Miami, that went down all the way to 6.9.
Yeah.
And that was the 12th lowest. Exactly. That was the 12th lowest mark among all receivers with at least 50 targets. So the volume was great, right? Nearly a 25% target share, top 10 in first read targets. Everything was great. But now you have Tyreek Hill, who's going to take a ton of targets away. You still have Mike Gesicki there. You have multiple running backs. And unless he gets downfield work this season, which is possible, I'm not saying it's not possible, I don't know how he's going to live up to a top 15 ADP, because he's not getting 100 receptions again, and he's probably not getting anywhere close to the targets he got, unless his team just goes super pass heavy, which they did last year because they couldn't run the football. But now you have a really, really innovative running oriented head coach in Mike McDaniel, who was with San Francisco. I just don't see it with Waddle as a top 15. I am closer to like wide receiver 23, 24. And maybe that's a mistake because, again, you want to bet on talent. He's as talented as most receivers in the league. But like another thing is, a lot of people are low on Tua, right? We see this on Twitter all the time. There's people that say Tua is not the answer. He's not going to be the NFL franchise quarterback at the NFL level for this team. If that's the case, then why is Tyreek Hill going as a top 10 receiver? Which he should. I don't think that's egregious, but like, they shouldn't both be top 15 receivers then. If that's the case, you better think Tua is going to smash this season.
I'm not a believer in Tua. I am a believer in the talent of Tyreek and Waddle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll find out this year, right?
Nobody disagrees with that. So yeah, it's really just a Tua question. But yeah, I agree with you on Waddle. I mean, Tyreek Hill going there is just going to take away a lot of that volume. Waddle was like a 10 target guy over the second half of the year last year, basically every single game. Never really gained a lot of yards. It's because you mentioned his ADOT was so low. But yeah, if he doesn't see 10 targets a game and he's still running really short routes, it's going to be hard for him to pay off like really solid wide receiver two fantasy value. He's a player that I would not feel comfortable as my fantasy wide receiver two. I just wouldn't. I mean, I think you have to like rank him there kind of like towards the back end of the wide receiver twos, maybe in like the 22-ish range.
Yeah, I think that's right where he is. I think I have Cooks at 21 or 22 and then Waddle at like 23.
Yeah, but I wouldn't love that. So that's why he's in tier five for me and not tier four. Yeah. And then another player I have in tier five who I think is better than this, and I'm just a huge believer in him. I know I've talked about it a lot. It's the biggest reason why I don't totally love Deebo Samuel is Brandon Ayuk.
You love Ayuk.
I do love Ayuk. He got off to an obviously awful start last year. Like the coaches hated him, but he got out of that doghouse. And over the second half of last year, so from weeks 8 through 17, Brandon Ayuk was top 12 in receiving yards in the entire NFL. Sorry, that's only wide receivers. I should probably include like Mark Andrews there, who probably had more, and Travis Kelce. So we'll say top 15 in the entire NFL, but top 12 among wide receivers. And Ayuk led the 49ers over the second half of the year in targets, receptions, target share. So I'm a big believer in Ayuk's talent. And the only real question there is like, who's going to be the San Francisco quarterback? Is it going to be Jimmy Garoppolo still, who I think really likes Brandon Ayuk? Or is it going to be, Oh, Trey Lance.
Yeah. I do that all the time.
Or is it going to be Trey Lance, who will run more and might, you know, lower the already not very high target ceiling for San Francisco players? It's probably going to be Lance, but like Jimmy is sticking around.
Well, yeah, Kyle Shanahan came out recently and said that the expectation is still that Garoppolo gets traded. So, by the way, if you're doing drafts now, like Trey Lance's ADP is going to skyrocket once that trade eventually happens. So,
dude, I do not think the trade is happening. I'm just going to come out and say it.
That's fair, but I don't think you can go and start Garoppolo after this offseason with the trade rumors and everything. It just seems weird. I want to talk about a couple more receivers from this tier before we go to tier six. I wrote an article. I do my fantasy crossroads series where I debate two players being drafted close to each other. It's free to read at FTN Fantasy. My latest one was Darnell Mooney and Gabriel Davis, which it really pained me because they're two of my favorite receivers in the entire NFL. You can go find out who I sided with, but it's two different cases kind of, right? With Darnell Mooney, you get the volume. You look at last season, averaged with Allen Robinson, who is now gone, obviously, almost 8 targets per game, nearly 5 receptions per game in 12 games with Robinson. The overall numbers were great. 26% target share, 6th highest in the NFL, 9th in reception. He was top 10 in percentage of teams' receptions, yards, and air yards. And he saw 33% of Chicago's first 3 targets. Only Cooper Kupp, Adams, DJ Moore, and Justin Jefferson had a higher rate of a team's first 3 targets. And you look at what the Bears did in the offseason. They brought in Velus Jones and Byron Pringle. Not going to do it for me.
So bad.
Right. And this Bears team, their defense took a hit. Like, they're going to be one of the worst teams in football. So they'll probably be throwing a lot, trailing in games. Now, and I think Justin Fields is still good. I still firmly believe in Justin Fields. You saw Darnell Mooney in his rookie season. He saw 23 deep targets. And this is when he was playing with, what, Trubisky and Foles? 23 deep targets. He only converted 4 of them. 32% of his deep targets in that season were deemed catchable, according to our numbers. That was the 11th lowest rate among all receivers with at least 70 targets. Justin Fields, during his time in college, was really good in terms of deep ball accuracy. He was actually quietly 13th best in adjusted completion percentage on deep passes last season. So I think there's plenty of room there. Like, we've seen Darnell Mooney separate at all levels of the field, but especially deep down the field. We saw him turn Jalen Ramsey around in his rookie season. Like, he is that talented. I think as a talent, he's a top 30 receiver in the NFL. Are the touchdowns going to be there on an offense that's bad? Mooney was not great in end zone targets. We'll see. And that's where Gabriel Davis becomes more interesting, right? Full-on breakout is probably going to happen in year 3. He hasn't been a full-time player yet. 48% of the snaps in year 1, 73% last year. We obviously saw his immensely historic postseason game. But I just think he's the clear number 2 on an elite offense. he has been top 12 in end zone targets each of his first two seasons. And again, that's despite not being a full-time player. So Josh Allen clearly targets him in the end zone when he's on the field. And whenever he's been on the field, he's been good. I looked at the games last season where Gabriel Davis saw at least five targets. During those games, he has averaged 14.5 PPR points per game. That's better than wide receiver 30.
That is good.
He's going around wide receiver 26 right now. Like, I'm fine with that. I admittedly have him lower, but you have to also remember that's underdog ADP where he's like wide receiver 26. And Josh Allen goes into like the back end of the second round. And a lot of times in underdog drafts, you want to stack. So I think that also boosts Gabriel Davis's ADP, at least on underdog. But look, I think 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns is firmly in his range of outcomes. He's not going to have the target share of Darnell Mooney. He probably won't even be top 20 in the NFL in target share playing with Stephon Diggs and some other talented players. But I'm a believer in the talent. His quarterback's elite. He's been good. Whenever Gabriel Davis has been on the field in his career, he's been good. So now he's going to be on the field more than ever. Why wouldn't I be in on Gabriel Davis?
Nothing to add.
I want to add real quick, Allen Robinson. He's in my tier. I almost want to move him up. You look at the numbers. This time last season, we were debating between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Like, that was the debate, which Rams receiver to draft. They were going both around the third round, right around each other. Obviously, Cooper Kupp side.
I did not get that one right.
But you know, I'm also a huge Robert Woods fan. And a lot of people at the start of the season, Robert Woods is the hugest bust ever. You know, he's been terrible. He got hurt at the end of week 9, right? In practice going into week 10. You look at the splits from weeks 1 to 9, Cooper Kupp was a clear wide receiver 1 by a lot. 26 fantasy points per game. Wide receiver 1 in fantasy. Robert Woods was wide receiver 12. And now Allen Robinson's the number 2 receiver, getting somewhat the Robert Woods role. He's not going to see the carries probably, but also playing with the best quarterback he's ever played with. I don't think Allen Robinson is suddenly bad at football either. I don't know if there's anything to not like about Robinson.
Yeah, if you look at Woods and Odell combined last year on the Rams, and I know you can't really do that because they had pretty different roles. Woods' ADOT was about 8, Odell's was over 13, but just for some back of the napkin math, if you combine the two of them, it was about 90 receptions, about 1,000 yards, and nearly 10 touchdowns. So the point being,
that's firmly in his range of outcomes. Yeah,
the point being, the wide receiver 2 role in LA is still potentially very productive for fantasy.
Yeah, I love Robinson. Again, I think he was just kind of like checked out with everything going on in Chicago last year and then missed the last couple games with injury. I still think he's incredible and he'll be in the best offense he's ever been in. So a lot of reasons to be excited. Let's go to tier 6. Who do you have in tier 6? Again, another tier where we get a lot of players that are, it's like a nice mix of rookies, potential like post-hype sleepers, and a couple veterans.
I have Kadarius Toney. I have DeAndre Hopkins here, but I don't know if I should. Like, is that too high? Because isn't he going to miss 10 games, or is it only six?
Six games.
Okay. Then, yeah, I'm fine having
him. Yeah, he's like my wide receiver 40-ish, so like he belongs in this tier. Obviously, he'd be in tier 2 if he weren't suspended.
So I have Toney, Hopkins, Juju, Treylon Burks, Drake London, Devontae Smith, Adam Thielen, Tyler Lockett, Gabe Davis, but I think you have convinced me to move him up. There you go. Alan Lazard, who I don't think I'm high enough on. Hunter Renfrow, Chase Claypool, and the best wide receiver value right now, Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I mean, Gallup's probably going to smash once he's healthy. My tier 6 is Elijah Moore, Thielen, Drake London, Tyler Lockett, Devonta Smith, Brandon Ayuk, who maybe I'll move up. You know, I've been, you know, this is a good reason we do this podcast. We can change, you know, we can convince each other to move players up. Treylon Burks, Chase Claypool, who I want to talk about, Kadarius Toney, Garrett Wilson, Hunter Renfrow, Hopkins, and Christian Kirk. Talk about Alan Lazard, because there's a lot of debate right now. Who's the wide receiver 1 in Green Bay? Is it Watson? Is it Watkins? Is it Lazard? I think it's pretty comfortably Alan Lazard as well.
Yeah, I think it is Lazard. Maybe it becomes Watson, and maybe it becomes Watson like near the goal line, but for right now, I don't really see how you don't put Lazard there. And Lazard is a good player, but really the reason, I don't think he's like some great player, but really the reason we like him is because he's tied to Aaron Rodgers. And in games last year, this is using the FTN Fantasy Splits tool, when Lazard had at least 5 targets last year, that happened in 7 games. When he had fewer than 5 targets, that happened in 8 games. So it's pretty much like an even 50-50 split here. When he had at least 5 targets, which, by the way, I think will happen every single game this year, he had 52 receiving yards, 1 touchdown per game, and 16 fantasy points per game in PPR leagues. He's not going to score a touchdown every single game this year, but he could score 10. Like,
yeah,
he could definitely score 10 touchdowns. He had 8 last year, and that was with Davante Adams taking a 31% target market share. So just like this huge volume of targets have opened up. I do think we see Aaron Jones probably catch a lot more passes. But yeah, Lazard has the connection with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers didn't just like him last year. Lazard had some good games in 2020 as well. So we talk about that kind of like magical 1,000 yards, 10 touchdown mark of players going in this, of wide receivers going in this range. I think Lazard is probably the most likely to do it. Just like the touchdown potential is really going to be there in Green Bay. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is going to turn into a pumpkin. So no. I just don't know about the yardage.
That's what I was going to say.
Watson's there. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I do think Lazard he's definitely going to be catching touchdowns. Like that is for sure going to happen.
Yeah, I like the touchdown potential. You look at the last 5 weeks of last season, Lazard was the wide receiver 8 in PPR leagues. He's not going to be anywhere close to that good, obviously.
That's nuts.
But he averaged a touchdown per game during that span. During that span, he also had 6 end zone targets, which tied with Davante Adams for the 5th most in football. And again, he was getting end zone targets alongside Davante Adams during that stretch, and now there's no Adams. I think he could easily lead this team in end zone targets. 1,000 yards seems a lot for him, but like, 8 to 10 touchdowns is firmly in play. Absolutely in play.
850 yards doesn't seem like that much for him.
If he goes 850 and 9, I would not be shocked.
Yeah.
At all. So I like the Lazard call a lot. Another player that's been rising for me is Chase Claypool. And it's just, it's kind of betting on talent, and I just hope the role changes. Matt Canada recently talked about moving Claypool around more, potentially in the slot. And if that happens, a third-year kind of post-hype sleeper breakout season is fully, fully possible. Juju Smith-Schuster's gone. He was a full-time slot player. We know that for Pittsburgh. Deontay Johnson plays out wide. So last year, we only saw Claypool in the slot about 19% of the time, which is low. But like with his size and speed combination, he can create so many mismatches playing in the slot. And you look at some of his best games in the NFL. His best game last year was Week 5, where he had 130 yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. He had 77 yards and a score and 2 of those catches from the slot. And then remember his breakout game in the NFL against the Eagles in 2 years ago, right? 110 yards, 3 touchdowns, also added a rushing touchdown. Almost 50 yards, and 2 of those touchdowns came when he was lined in the slot. And it's just like you watch that Eagles game too, and I know it was 2 years ago, but you could just clearly tell, like, you can't put a linebacker on him because it's over. And slot corners are going to struggle with him too because his size is ridiculous. So I'm hoping we get Chase Claypool in the slot. And again, I don't think Pittsburgh's passing offense is going to be great, but like there'll probably be more downfield attempts than what we saw last year from Roethlisberger, who last year he had the 12th lowest rate of passes going for 20 yards or more, and he was 2nd worst in the NFL in intended air yards per pass attempt behind only Jared Goff. So I'm in on Claypool. I like the upside he presents in this range, and I just think if he's playing, you know, 40, 50, 60% of the slot, I think he could just be really hyper efficient. Maybe he doesn't see 95 to 110 targets, but like, you know, I hope that might be a ceiling, but like he could be hyper efficient on those targets, especially if, you know, Kenny Pickett's the real deal or if Trubisky, I think Trubisky's fine. Like, I don't think whoever starts, I don't think it's going to be this immense downgrade from Roethlisberger from what we saw last year.
Yeah. Roethlisberger was not good last year. The only other, I guess there's 2 other interesting players here. One, I'm just going to just do my quick Michael Gallup, get on my soapbox here.
Are you a Dallas fan or a Detroit fan? I can't tell anymore.
I'm a Dak fan. And apparently, I like Dak too. Apparently I'm a Detroit fan. Apparently I'm like kind of a Jets fan too. So,
but actually you're a Patriots fan, right?
I'm actually a Patriots fan. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that. For the first time in my life, I'm sorry to hear that.
What, dude?
They might finish last.
Says the Bills fan after 25 years.
Hey, that's why I said for the first time in my life.
Complete ownership. All right. Well, so Gallup, yeah, I know he's injured, might not be ready at the start of the year. I guess there's some talk of him maybe being on PUP. To be completely honest, I really don't pay any attention to that until like August.
Sure.
I do think we see Gallup play this year, and I don't think if he misses time, I don't think it's going to be some significant amount of time. But the Dallas offense lost Amari Cooper, and they lost Cedric Wilson, and they still have Dak, and Gallup is going to be the wide receiver two there as soon as he's ready to play. And he's a really good player. He just flat out is a really good player. His second year in the league, he had 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns on only 66 receptions. And throughout his career, when he has seen at least 6 targets in a game, which I don't think is an unreasonable amount to maybe average if he's the wide receiver two in Dallas, with at least 6 targets per game, this is from the splits tool, he averages 69 receiving yards and a touchdown, 0.4 touchdowns, so almost a touchdown every other game, and 14 fantasy points per game. So I actually don't have Gallup's ADP in front of me, but I think it's close to like the wide receiver 50 range, which he's going to be a fantasy wide receiver 3, like flat out as soon as he's on the field, which might be as soon as week 1. So I love buying Gallup here. And then I know that you...
I'm going to put him in this tier, by the way. I had him in tier 7 just because of the uncertainty, but like similar to Godwin, not to that level, but like when he's on the field, Gallup's going to return, like you said, wide receiver 3 value, I would imagine.
So yeah, and he's with an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a proven good player. Yeah, I love Gallup.
And it's a small sample size real quick, but he played 2 games without Amari last year. 9 targets, 5 receptions, 75 yards per game. Nuts. So he's not going to get so that, good. But like, again, you mentioned the numbers with it, when at least 6 targets. Just give him 6-7 targets. He doesn't need 9.
Yeah, he's so good. And then I know that you're a Kadarius Toney stan, so I want to hear you kind of riff on Toney now that he has Brian Daboll.
It's really, again, so Kadarius Toney was my second favorite receiver in his draft class behind Amon-Ra, and we saw the flashes last year, right? Like top 10 yards per out run, his targets per out run were elite, and he showcased immense talent. Like change of direction was amazing, after the catch ability, route running, it was great. And I'm a believer in Toney, and as everybody knows, I'm a massive believer in Brian Daboll, just putting his players in the best situations to succeed. We saw him get the most out of Isaiah McKenzie, who I think he'll use similarly. He'll use Toney in a similar way, but the difference is Tony's going to be a full-time player, and Toney's 20 times better than Isaiah McKenzie. So that alone excites me.
Yeah, Toney, it is a little hard, admittedly, to read too much into like Giants receiving shares last year, just because it was like a revolving door. But when Toney was healthy, his target shares were 25%, 35%, 32%, and 22%. Yeah. That's really high. I mean, that's a floor of 25% and a ceiling of 35%. Does he see that? I don't know. I really don't. But any rookie that busts off for 189 receiving yards and 10 receptions in like his first healthy game is, to me, like that just proves you're going to be a good player.
That's the same argument I have for Amon-Ra. Like everybody talks about, oh, but he did it without Swift and Hockenson. Like, granted, yes, he got more targets because of that. But if you can produce at the level he did in an NFL offense, and an NFL offense that's not even that good, like the Lions were a bottom tier offense last season, but like he was clearly the number one target. Every team knew that, and he was just smashing every week. Just tells me you're a good player. Historically, you're a good player. And I know it's easy for me to say this because, again, I thought it was a joke that he fell to the 4th round in the NFL draft. And again, he was my favorite receiver in that draft class. But same with Toney. Like producing at that level as a rookie, it's just really encouraging to me. And the other thing with Daboll, before we go to tier 7, Brian Daboll doesn't care about balance. Like if they don't have success running the football, if the best thing they're doing offensively for a given week is throwing the ball to Kadarius Toney, guess what they're doing? They're throwing to Kadarius Toney. Brian Daboll doesn't care that they only have 8 carries in a game, which hopefully doesn't. Barkley's different because like Barkley is going to get catches and everything too, so I'm not worried about Barkley. But I'm just saying like he sticks with what's working. I remember a game against Seattle last year where Buffalo just threw the ball like 50 times because Seattle couldn't stop them. And Buffalo was winning the whole game. And after the game, Pete Carroll was like, yeah, I didn't expect them to throw that much. And Brian Daboll was like, yeah, it was working. What do you mean? Like, we're going to keep doing it. That's Brian Daboll's mindset. And I love it for fantasy. All right, tier seven. And I'm making a change right now. Tyler Boyd's going to the end of tier six for me. I've been, again, not an exciting player, but I've been really excited about Boyd as a late round receiver. Look, we know Chase and T. Higgins are the elite talents, the exciting prospects, the fun players. And Boyd splits with all three receivers healthy were not great. But a lot of that was because the start of the season, the Bengals really eased Joe Burrow in coming off his season-ending injury in 2020. The first 8 weeks of the season, the Bengals were 11th lowest pass rate in the NFL. But then weeks 9 through 18, they climbed to 12th in overall passing rate at just under 60%. And during that span, I take away week 18 because the Bengals rested their starters that game. So weeks 9 through 17, Tyler Boyd was the wide receiver 27 in fantasy. And that was with Chase and Higgins, both as top 20 receivers as well. So Joe Burrow can clearly support three top 35 receivers in fantasy. And if this team goes right into this season with that same kind of passing rate, top 12, and the offensive line's been improved, so who knows if they go even higher. I think Tyler Boyd's going to be a really good value.
I like that call. I'm willing to move him up too.
Are you like going crazy when you draft Tyler Boyd in the ninth round? No, of course not. Like, this is a really smart selection.
No, you know what I think is like the most enticing thing about drafting Boyd in that range is he's on a really good offense and he's the cheapest.
Yeah.
Access and, to that and offense.
What if one of the receivers misses 5 weeks? That's Tyler true. Boyd's a borderline must start receiver, so it's almost like Tony Pollard at receiver.
It's a good point.
Not, again, nowhere near as explosive as a player, but just the mindset. It's like, oh, Tyler Boyd right now is in a smaller role in this Bengals offense, but it's an elite offense, and he's going to be involved to an extent. And there's situations where all of a sudden he could be the number two in a top seven offense in the NFL.
Did you say the rest of your tier seven, or did you just
go straight? I did not. I just wanted to make sure Tyler Boyd got in tier six. But the rest of my tier seven, we're going to see a lot of rookies in this tier, right? Chris Olave, Sky yep. Moore, Christian Watson, Jameson Williams, you could put in this tier. I also have Robert Woods in this tier just because of the age and the ACL injuries coming off of. Then I have Russell Gage, Kenny Galladay, and Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, similar tier for me. I have Christian Kirk in seven. I know you had him in six. I have Jacoby Myers here. And then all those rookies you mentioned. And really, it's kind of like tier seven plus, right? Like at this point, we start talking about basically every wide receiver.
Tim Patrick, you could throw in, some of the Chiefs receivers we didn't mention outside of Sky Moore and Juju, right? Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Like, this is why it's kind of tough to do a receiver preview because we could sit here for another hour and go into the wide receiver 68. And it's like, oh yeah, he makes sense as a late round, Rondale Moore.
Right.
With no Hopkins for the first 6 weeks. Like, so many receivers you can make an argument for.
So
the free agents. Odell Beckham and Juju and Julio Jones.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, OBJ, if he signs somewhere and it seems like he's on track to be healthy relatively without too much time missed, he definitely shoots up several.
And like, what if Julio signs with Baltimore or something? Like, probably goes in the top 10 rounds.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know if he should, but he will. So of players kind of in this tier, the one that I like the most is Russell Gage. Playing with Tom Brady.
Similar to Tyler Boyd.
Yep, very similar to Tyler Boyd. You get access to a very good offense. Russ Gage will be, at worst, the wide receiver three on the team. If Gronk doesn't play, he gets a boost there. If Chris Godwin is not there at the beginning of the season or is still injured at the beginning of the season, Russ Gage gets a boost there. He's a player that I think people will be surprised to know that he had a 23% target market share last year, which was right there with like T. Higgins and Chase Claypool. And Gage is not as good as those guys, but the point is he was a centerpiece in Atlanta's offense last year without Calvin Ridley there. And Antonio Brown also had a 23% target market share with the Buccaneers. Does Gage just step right into that Brown role? No, he's not nearly as good as Antonio Brown, but he's probably going to see 15 as a floor to 18% target market share. I bet like he's not going to be a 10% target market share guy. So I like Gage. He's very cheap. access to the Bucs offense, access to Tom Brady explosion weeks. Just a good bet on situation player that's a little bit better, I think, than people realize.
Yeah, and I like 18% market share in this offense would be great. But even if he gets like 15, 16, if Tampa Bay is leading the league in passing attempts a game, per game and overall again, like that's not even the end of the world if he's at 16% in this range of receivers. So I like that call a lot. And again, like situations change and he's thrust in a larger role. He could be a top 30 receiver very easily in this offense. Then you have, again, the rookies, right? Sky Moore potential.
I'll be back in like 2 minutes. Sorry.
All good. Yeah, then you have the rookies like Sky Moore has potential. Chris Olave, who maybe takes a little bit of a bump with Jarvis Landry landing there, but I'm still a firm believer in Chris Olave's talent. It's just we kind of talked about it with Michael Thomas. If their passing volume is down and we're worried about Michael Thomas, it's tough to feel incredibly excited about Chris Olave. I think Robert Woods is interesting because one of my favorite receivers in the NFL, I still think he's talented. Now he's, you know, on the wrong side of 30, coming off a torn ACL, and now he's in a run-first offense that's nowhere near as explosive as the Rams. But you look at the depth chart, I mean, it's Treylon Burks, and it's Robert Woods. Like, Robert Woods could easily lead this team in targets, and in this range, like, I don't know how many of these receivers can comfortably say they will lead their team in targets. Olave, no. Sky Moore, probably not. Lazard, maybe. Actually, I have Lazard in tier 6 now, so he's not even in there for me. Tyler Boyd, no. Russell Gage, no. Christian Watson, I don't think so. Galladay, probably not. Gallup, no. And then maybe Jacoby Myers. So just that argument alone for Robert Woods. And the other factor is we saw him get carries and jet sweeps and everything with the Rams. I don't know if we see that with Mike Vrabel and company in Tennessee. But if they decide that's a part of their offense they want to use, that gives him a little bit more, you know, value, which is why I've loved drafting Robert Woods for years, because on top of him being a good receiver, you get that added, you know, rushing totals, you know, per game every now and then, which is nice. So I like Robert Woods in this range. And then again, like we talked about, I think Tim Patrick is in that same Tyler Boyd, Russell Gage mold. You get access to what should be a very good offense. He's already an underrated player that's going to have a role anyway. And again, he could be thrust in a larger role. And with how good he's been, led the team in end zone targets last season. Russell Wilson's been among the league leaders in end zone throws pretty much every year of his career. So there's going to be weeks where Tim Patrick has good games, and there's going to be weeks where he doesn't, but that's why he's in this tier. But there's upside there in this tier. Like, I think I feel better about Tim Patrick than maybe some of these rookie receivers, to be honest.
Yeah, Patrick is a player. He's actually a player that I can't remember when it was, but a couple of years ago, I like picked him up off waiver wires. I was real desperate. And he kept scoring touchdowns. So I've always liked him since then. And then, yeah, Robert Woods is a player that could easily move up a couple tiers. Really like his potential in Tennessee. Treylon Burks is the player that everyone expects to be the wide receiver one in Tennessee. But, yeah, it could easily be Woods. Exciting team. I really, Mike Vrabel, I think, is an amazing coach. So I am excited to see what Woods does there, but not a player I'm really willing to spend a lot of fantasy draft capital on, but definitely a player I'm willing to take a couple shots on.
Yeah. And I was going to say, like I said, Woods is one of the receivers in this tier that you could see lead his team in targets. You can't really make that case for a lot of others. Maybe Jacoby Myers.
Maybe Myers. Yeah. So, okay. I have a question of players, we haven't talked about or listed, like players going real, real deep. Like if you're doing an 18 round draft, which wide receiver do you like taking a shot on at the very, very end of the draft?
Again, it's going to be a lot of the rookies, right? I like Jalen Tolbert a lot in Dallas. We'll see. Obviously, Gallup going to miss some time potentially. And I think Tolbert could easily step in and be the wide receiver 3 at some point over James Washington. So I think there's upside there. Mm-hmm. David Bell as well in Cleveland. Like, you have Amari Cooper and David Njoku, and then what at receiver? Like, David Bell could easily slide in as the number 2 receiver there. I also like Jarvis Landry is fine in this range. You could even talk me into Devontae Parker.
So my favorite, and he was my favorite last year, and it worked out, and it's like the same cost this year as Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
There's two things about it. One, Odell might not return. Number 2, at worst, Jefferson is the wide receiver 3 there, right? But what if, I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but what if Allen Robinson really isn't that great? Like, I don't think anymore. I don't think that's the case, but maybe we're blinded by our Robinson love. Like, no one expected Darnell Mooney to just completely overtake him as the wide receiver one in Chicago last year. So I don't think that's completely out of the question. But yeah, Jefferson's a great deep ball threat. He actually ranked top 25 in the league last year in air yards. You know, players right around him in air yards were T. Higgins, Keenan Allen, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown. So good company in terms of air yards. Obviously kind of like a boom bust player, but that's particularly in best ball leagues. That's a kind of player that I like to draft at the very end.
Yeah, totally. And he's, again, in an elite offense. And then I'll add, before we get out of here, you know, two Lions, Jameson Williams and DJ Chark. I mentioned Devontae Parker. And then how about KJ Osborne? I think Minnesota throws more. He's been good when he's gotten opportunities for fantasy. Not great, but good. And Adam Thielen's, you know, missed time last season. He's, you know, he's getting up there in age. Jefferson's obviously the clear one, but I think they also run more three wide this season. Maybe not as much with Irv Smith back and healthy, but like, again, like they got a good play from Tyler Conklin, so they could still go three wide with Irv. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
No, I like that call. I think I was looking at it yesterday. I'm going to see if I can confirm it real quick. I'm looking at the deep receiving stats tool on FTN Fantasy. Yeah, okay, this is right. Osborne had 9 deep targets last year, so balls thrown 20 plus yards in the air. He caught 7 of them for 4 touchdowns.
Wow.
He actually had more deep ball touchdowns than Justin Jefferson.
Very interesting. And I'm trying to like think about watching games, and I don't even remember how many I've watched from him. So like, that is definitely a surprising stat, but he's a talented player. Like, he's underrated as a third option on a team. And I like him in this range for sure. So receiver position is obviously incredibly loaded. We could have sat here for another hour and talked about some more receivers potentially, but I think this was a great in-depth look at the wide receiver position, how we kind of view some of these tiers and who we're excited about, who maybe we're not so much excited about. But it was a nice exercise too, because we both kind of changed some of our stances on some players as well. So we have the tight end preview starting next week, and then we're going to get into some team previews, Tyler. Some like 25, 30-minute long episodes where we just run through teams, talk about change in offensive schemes, had, you know, different coaching, you know, teams that are, you know, obviously with the NFL offseason, we saw every team pretty much has different players. So those will be fun. We'll probably do a couple of those a week. And content-wise at FTN Fantasy, I mean, hopefully, like I said, you signed up for that early bird special for the FTN Fantasy Platinum Package. If not, go get it now still. It's still very well worth the price. You get what? Rankings from all of us, including Jeff Ratcliffe's elite rankings and projections. You get Josh Larkey's best ball guide, which is going to be amazing. I'm excited to dig into that. You get the premium stats that we've been talking about on this podcast, the tools. You get articles, you get videos, you get podcasts, you get everything. And it's what? I believe it's all the way up until the Super Bowl. So why would you not do that? Tyler, how excited are you about that and just the season? And what do you have going at FTN Fantasy the rest of the week? I have another Fantasy Crossroads article that's going to be up on Friday.
I'm still going through a team-by-team preview with sleepers, busts, and bets for each team.
Those are so fun to read, by the way. You should check them out. They have literally something for everyone. So.
Yeah, we're doing that. I'm doing that with Josh Larkey. And the team's coming up next. Today, we released the Seattle Seahawks. I actually have an interesting Noah Fant take in there, I think. And then up next is Washington Commanders, Minnesota Vikings, and Cleveland Browns. We're going in reverse draft order. So the teams are getting slightly better. So that means like the final teams we will be doing are like the Rams and Bengals and Chiefs. So
you forgot to mention the Bills.
The Bills.
Had to get that in there. But yeah. Excited about that, and excited about, again, it's June 1st, man. Like, the season's going to be here before we know it. Soon we'll have training camps, preseason, ADPs will skyrocket after preseason plays and all that great stuff. So keep it locked here. Subscribe, rate, review, helps us out over at the, you know, iTunes, whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. Spend the FTN. DataCast presented by the FTN Network. For Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. We'll see you guys next week for the tight end preview. Talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at APfeiffer24 and at LochnerNFL.